The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Easter. And Easter, the resurrection, is the highest feast day of our calendar year. But this period of Easter of 50 days culminates today in Pentecost. And both feasts are extremely significant. In the first reading, we hear that in Jerusalem, many were gathered for the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost is a Jewish feast that existed at the time of Jesus. And you know also that the Last Supper was a Jewish feast, a pilgrimage feast, Passover. And just as we learned at Easter time that the Passover of Moses with the Israelites through the desert and the Red Sea into the Promised Land foreshadowed the Passover of Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Paschal Lamb who takes away the sins of the world by his death and resurrection. So too now, 50 days later, at the end of the Passover season, the Feast of Pentecost was when the Jews recognized that about after 50 days after the Exodus, Moses went up on the mountain when there was fire and storm and thunder and received the law. And so Pentecost, or that event, is a shadowing of the true Pentecost in the new covenant, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, the new law. You see, to understand how Christ saved us, we can't look at any one part, not his death only, not his resurrection only, but it begins with the incarnation, the birth, the life, the teaching, the miracles, the witness, the suffering, the death, the resurrection, the ascension into heaven, and the sending of the Holy Spirit. And what God has done in Jesus Christ is saved us. But the way he has saved us is we, because of our sin, separated ourselves from God. And so God comes down from heaven in Christ Jesus, true God and true man, the incarnation, and leads us back to the Father. He touches our humanity, and through his total self-giving, shows the extent of God's love and dedication to us. But by his resurrection reveals that there is more to this life than simply our human life. And he offers us a share in that resurrection if we accept the forgiveness of sins and receive the Holy Spirit, the breath of the risen Lord, which is eternal. And so our salvation comes by our acceptance of forgiveness and joining ourselves in a very real way that's mysterious to God through the sacraments of Eucharist and baptism, where God breathes into us the Holy Spirit. That's pretty powerful. That's enough right there. I could stop. But there's more. You see, also in Genesis chapter 11, who knows what happens in Genesis chapter 11? There's actually several things. But this feast of Pentecost that we hear in the second reading, does that remind you of anything? When the Holy Spirit comes down, Acts chapter 2, and people start speaking in all languages of the world, it reminds us of the Tower of Babel. And what this episode of Pentecost also teaches us is that when the Spirit came down, people spoke in all different languages. All the languages, it says, known under heaven. It is a symbol and a prophecy of what exists today, is that the church speaks all languages. It is universal, and it is meant for the salvation of all people. And in that Holy Spirit, God wants to unite us. You see, in the Tower of Babel, humanity, because they ignored God, striving to become great, perhaps like God, like we hear also in the Garden of Eden, striving to advance, using their own power, their own knowledge, their own strength, competition one against another as individuals trying to become better, we become divided. But God doesn't want that. God wants us to be united, working for things that are even greater than our individual gains. Things like justice, peace, love, the well-being of all people, the kingdom of God, salvation for all people. And so in the Holy Spirit is the revelation that God has called us into community, the church. And salvation is mediated through that community, the church, the body of Christ. Jesus of Nazareth, one person, ascends so that the Spirit can come down so that the body of Christ lives in all people. We are the body of Christ. And where Christ, the head, has gone before us, we too shall follow in heaven. But it unites us now with one another. And just as in that gospel, Jesus, when he breathed the Holy Spirit on the disciples, the pillars of the church, he said, whose sins you forgive are forgiven in heaven. Whose sins you retain are retained in heaven. That's hard to understand. And he might be talking about confession, but he's much more likely talking about baptism. God mediates his forgiveness through the community of the church because salvation is being joined to the body of Christ. And so, yes, you hear it a lot these days, right? I'm saved. I don't have to go to church. I can stay home and pray. That's good. It's better than not praying. But God intends for us to be together as a community so that the world may see God's love in action and not only experience or feel it in ways that we can't fully understand with God alone, but by seeing one another love each other and being brought into that community of love. And so, this gospel, this first reading, this feast teaches us how Jesus saves us, but it also teaches us that he chooses to save us through the church. And you know how I've heard it said? Have you heard it said? The purpose of life is to go to heaven. What do you think? You agree with that? Trick question? I say no. That's not the purpose of our life. But having been saved in Christ Jesus, filled with that Holy Spirit, having the faith and the confidence that we are members of that eternal kingdom in heaven, that gives us the confidence to share in the mission of Christ to bring others to heaven with us. That's the only reason why we're still here. We're told that Jesus will come in the second coming. Well, if everyone who is saved, who God intended to be saved, he'd come. But he wants all people to be saved. And so while we are still here, while we have time, God is asking us and has commissioned us like he did those early disciples. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Our work is to work for evangelization, work to build up the church, work to save others. And by doing so, St. Paul will tell us in that second reading, each of us has special gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit so that we can use them in building up the community, the church, the body of Christ, making her beautiful, making her efficacious, so that she may go out to the ends of the world and proclaim authentically and lovingly God's words, but also God's love and deeds, and invite others to come to the church. And so our job as church then, as members of the church, is to listen to that Holy Spirit, to allow it to grow in us, to lead us and guide us to become fully and engaged, active members of the church, building it up and helping it share in the mission of Christ. God desires to save all people. He is asking us to reach out to those who yet to be saved by building up the church, making her beautiful, proclaiming the gospel, and inviting others to join.